If you go into the ways of the world, and you have already heard, you've heard the truth. If you go into the ways of the world, it will bring utter destruction. You read the word of God and do it every day of your life, it will go well with you. If you don't, it won't go well with you. Destruction will come. It may not come immediately, but it will come. And you will see the enemy just starts coming and just start eating away pieces of your life. And little by little, you start losing your life. You lose your career. And I've seen it happen in many men. We are in Isaiah chapter 7. This is just like a super, super prophetic chapter. And really super exciting. Okay, so Isaiah chapter 7, reading from verse 1. Now it came about in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not conquer it. When it was reported to the house of David, saying, "The Arameans have camped in Ephraim," his heart and the heart of the people shook as the trees of the forest shake with the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out now to meet Ahaz, you and your son Shir-Yashuv, and at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, 'Take care and be calm, have no fear, and do not be faint-hearted because of these two stubs of smoldering firebrands on account of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah. Because Aram with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has planned evil against you, saying, "Let us go up against Judah and terrorize it and make for ourselves a breach in its walls and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Now within another 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered, so that it will no longer be a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. And if you will not believe, you surely shall not last." Okay, so let me set the context for you a little bit here. This portion is called the Book of Emmanuel. Actually, from chapter 7 through chapter 12, often referred to as the Book of Emmanuel. Emmanuel being God with us, or more literally, with us, God. And sometimes in the English, they will translate Emmanuel. But three times this Emmanuel is written between chapters 7 and 12. So Ahaz is king of Jerusalem at this time. Now remember, this is the third king that Isaiah is prophesying under. The first was Uzziah, and then Uzziah was the one who got leprosy, and then his son Jotham reigned after him. And Uzziah and Jotham were both characterized as good kings, although that they were basically good. Uzziah had that main failing where he went into the temple and tried to make an offering that only priests should be able to do. And then his son Jotham, he was a good king, but there was a lot of disorder. There was a lot of prosperity, but much like our country, a lot of prosperity and massive neglect for the Lord because of their prosperity under Jotham. But then Jotham's son Ahaz reigned. Ahaz is the third king under which Isaiah is prophesying, and he was a very, very wicked king. He actually not only exercised lots of nasty things on the high places, he brought back the golden calf from the wilderness that Moses had dealt with. He had a golden calf made. He brought in Baal worship, and he brought in the worship of Molech, which was the offering of his sons in the fire. In other words, he was even actually offering up his sons. So he went right back to the very things that God had displaced the people before them, the Canaanites, out of that land for the things that they did. It is during this time that the Assyrian Empire is rising. And the Assyrian Empire is becoming extremely powerful during this time. And it starts to rise. So that there are two countries, there's Aram and there's Israel. So you have Jerusalem and Judah, You have, so the Judeans are down here. Remember, that's two-thirds of the landmass is Jerusalem and all of Judea, that landmass. That's the southern kingdom. That constituted Judah, the tribe of Judah, and the small tribe of Benjamin, as well as Simeon that had been subsumed. There were 10 tribes in the north, in the northern kingdom, called Israel. That was about one-third of the landmass. The king over that was, the king over the northern kingdom was Pekah. He was the son of Remaliah. So in this portion, Pekah is king of the north in Israel. That is the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom is where Jerusalem is. That is Ahaz. Ahaz is this wicked king. The king in the north is Pekah. His father's name, his father's name is Remaliah. Remaliah, and sometimes they will refer to the northern kingdom as Pekah, or they'll call him Remaliah. But he's really the son of Remaliah. His father had been Remaliah. There's also another country called Syria, just above the northern kingdom. That is not Assyria. Syria is this name of Aram, A-R-A-M. And in fact, Aram is the Hebrew name of that country. Syria is the name that the Greeks gave that land. So Aram and Syria are the same thing. Aram and Syria are the same thing. Some Bibles translate it as Aram, going with the Hebrew. Some Bibles translate it as Syria, going with the Greek name for that. This Aram slash Syria is not Assyria. Assyria is another nation, okay? So you got that? There's Assyria. That's growing. That's becoming a threat. So Syria or Aram couples with the northern kingdom, Israel. Israel and Syria, they're enemies today, but back then they formed an alliance. They formed an alliance to try to defend themselves against Assyria. So Assyria is now threatening the rest of the region. And so Aram and the northern kingdom Israel partner. All right, so that's what's going on here. And so you see that. And the king in Aram slash Syria, Aram, Syria being the same thing. The king of Aram is this king named Rezin. Rezin, so that's the name of the king. So you got Rezin, who's king of Aram. You got Pekah, who's king of Israel. You got Ahaz, who's king in Jerusalem over Judah. So these two countries, Aram, and by the way, Abraham was an Aramean. He was from Syria. That's where Abraham came from. He was an Aramean. So anyway, so that just gives you that these people are really tied together ethnically, even to this day. I mean, and so they partner to try to defend themselves against Assyria, who's a threat to them. They tried to get Judah to join with them because Judah was a very powerful nation. Judah, the southern kingdom, Jerusalem being its head, and Judah, because Uzziah built huge engines of war. There was a lot of equipment there. And his son Jotham continued that. So Uzziah was like an engineer, and they had built up the country very strong in defenses. Ahaz comes in, and he's a wicked king, and he doesn't care about the army. But he has all of these assets. It's much like you see today. President Trump had built up the army massively, the U.S. Army massively, and President Biden has given very little to the army in comparison. But he's using the assets that were built up under President Trump. The same sort of thing. Ahaz has all of these assets in Judah that were built up by his father and his grandfather. So Israel and Syria in this alliance, Israel and Aram, want to get the Judeans to join with them to make it a trifecta, to have three nations able to work together against Assyria, who's threatening them. And Ahaz refuses. Ahaz says, I'm not going to do that, because he had a different plan in mind. What he was going to do is he was going to actually partner with Assyria. He wanted to pay off Assyria, saying, leave me alone and protect me from these other two. So his plan all the time was to do this. So that's what's going on. That gives you the context of this. So Aram and the northern kingdom, Israel, are going to attack Judah. Say, you don't want to join with us so that we have this trifecta against Assyria? We're going to attack you. And their intent is to take over the land of Judah, get all of their war assets, and make it theirs. And so what they wanted to do is they wanted to come in and they wanted to get all of these assets for themselves. And they also wanted to set up for themselves the Tabeel. They wanted to take out Ahaz, who was this wicked king. They wanted to take him out and put their own man in there, Tabeel, and just now take over Judah. And so do you get the context of this? This is what's happening at this time. And this is exactly what now he's speaking into. But this is, gives you a picture of what's going on. So what we're going to do is we're going to read in 2 Kings chapter 16, because we have to set the context of this. So in the other books of the Bible, you know, how did I get this understanding of what I just told you? It's also in the Bible. It's in other portions of the Bible. So we're going to look at some of those other portions. So in 2 Kings chapter 16, verses 1 through 9, you see some background here. And it says, in the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, became king. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his father David had done. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and he even made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had driven out from before the sons of Israel. He sacrificed and he burned incense on the high places and on the hills under every green tree. Then Rezin, the king of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war, and they besieged Ahaz, but they could not overcome him. At that time, Rezin, king of Aram, recovered Elath for Aram and cleared the Judeans out of Elath entirely. And the Arameans came to Elath and have lived there to this day. Verse 7 in 2 Kings 16. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come up and deliver me from the hand of the king of Aram and from the hand of the king of Israel who are rising up against me. Ahaz took silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house and sent a present to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria listened to him, and the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and captured it and carried the people of it away into exile, into Kir, and he put Rezin to death. So you get a sense of what's happening here. So what does this summarize? So anyway, this is over a several-year period. The thing that we just read, that portion we just read, is over a several-year period. Ahaz comes in. He's king of Jerusalem. He's a wicked king. And so God's sending judgment against him. God is sending judgment. The judgment is coming from the northern kingdom, Israel, partnered with Aram, and they're coming down and attacking him. So what does he do? He takes all this gold and these valuables out of the temple of the Lord, all these things that David had acquired and Solomon had put together, and he sends them to the king of Assyria. He says, here's some money. Please support me, protect me. Before Assyria could even do this, those two kingdoms in the north attacked. So actually what happened, and you can tell this from the context in verse 1 of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 1, it says that at the end of it, it says, And the king of Israel went up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not conquer it. Pekah could not conquer it. Because what happened was Pekah went and he tried to conquer Jerusalem. He conquered Judea, the northern part of the Judean kingdom, all around Jerusalem. He conquered all of that. He could not get into Jerusalem. Why couldn't he get into Jerusalem? If you go to Jerusalem today, where Shireen is right now, I mean, it's these very sharp walls going up to it, and it's like this horn coming up, and there were walls all around it, and it was very hard to overcome it. In fact, Joshua, when he came into the land, he never got Jerusalem. He never conquered Jerusalem. Jerusalem was not conquered until finally David came in and he was able to conquer Jerusalem and really, really take that land. And so very hard to conquer Jerusalem. So Jerusalem was never conquered. But all the surrounding territory of the southern kingdom was lost because Ahaz was a wicked man. And when your life is wicked, you start losing things all around you. So Pekah devastated that northern area. How do we know that? Because it tells us this. The scriptures tell us this, and we'll look at some of these portions. Now, the king of Syria, the Arameans, Aram, which is also Syria, they didn't attack the northern kingdom of Judea. They went south. We just read it. They went to Elath in the south, which is right by the Gulf of Aqaba, which comes up from the Red Sea. This is the furthest most point south of Israel today. They went to the south, and the Arameans conquered the south, and they took it from the Judeans. They took it, and they took captive many of these people, and they put many people to death, and they took other ones captive. So this is what's going on, and during this time, he's sending this message to Assyria, but it's not like, you know, you call up on the phone, and you get this message. It takes time. He had to take all of this stuff out of the temple and send it in messengers up to the king of Assyria to say, come and help me. And so what Assyria eventually does, this is a year later, after he's been devastated, he attacks Damascus, the head of Syria, the head of the Arameans. So he goes in and he attacks Aram, and he gets that king and he puts him to death. So he listened to him, but the king of Assyria sort of says, psych, I told you I will help you. Yeah, I did, but now I'm going to torment you. And so the king of Assyria comes against Ahaz himself and makes his life miserable as well. And so he sent up to the north and he did this. And so all of this is going on. And we're going to look at another passage out of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Verses 1 through 7 will tell us more about what's going on. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 1, Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as David his father had done. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Also, he made molten images for the Baals. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, and he burned his sons in the fire, according to the abominations of the nations, whom the Lord had driven out before the sons of Israel. He sacrificed and he burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. So this is talking about how bad this king Ahaz was. It says in verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 28, wherefore the Lord God delivered him into the hands of the king of Aram, and they defeated him and carried away from him a great number of captives and brought them to Damascus. What happened to Ahaz? He rebelled against God. He started offering up his sons in the fire. He had nothing to do with the Lord. And God, it says, God delivered him up. This is the king of Jerusalem. God handed him over to the Arameans, to the Syrians. Handed him over to the Arameans. The Arameans conquered the whole southern portion. And it says that they took many people captive and they brought them up to Damascus as a result of that. And then also Pekah, and he also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who inflicted upon him heavy casualties. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And Zikri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Maaseiah, the king's son, and Azakim, the ruler of the house, and Elkanah, the second of the king. So it says that the northern kingdom Israel was attacking the north of Judah. They couldn't get Jerusalem, but they got all the cities around it. They killed 120,000 men of Judah in one day. All of them valiant men. Why? Because they had forsaken the Lord. If you forsake the Lord, your life will not go well. That is the testimony of Scripture. And so they killed 120,000 men in one day. The king's son. Ahaz's son was killed in this battle. And the second in command was killed in this battle as well. Now, as Ahaz stayed put in the city with the big walls, with the high walls around it. But everything else was devastated. Well, if they killed 120,000 men in that time, what happened to all the women and children? Well, it tells us in verse, it tells us later on in that chapter. So we can read that. It says in verse 8 of 2 Chronicles 28, verse 8, then the sons of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons and daughters, and took also a great deal of spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. All right, so the 120,000 men, boom, the men were killed in one day. There were 200,000 women and children. They took them captive and they brought them up to the northern kingdom of Israel. The capital was Samaria. That was up in the territory of Ephraim. In fact, in this very passage, sometimes it refers to Israel, which is the northern kingdom. Sometimes it refers to it as Ephraim, which is this area in which their capital city, Samaria, resides. And sometimes they call it Ephraim because their first king, Jeroboam, was an Ephraimite, and therefore they called it that. And so they took them all captive. Now, when they get up there, you can read on your own if you want to, it's out of 2 Chronicles 28. There was one prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel. He says, what are you doing? You've got these 200,000 women and children. They're actually our brethren. They're actually Jews. And don't treat them like this. So they ended up, you know, taking care of them, clothing them, and they brought them back down to Jericho, and they left them at Jericho because they had not wiped out the city of Jericho, and they left them down there. Jericho is way down in the valley by the Jordan River. And then if we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 16, it says, at that time, King Ahaz sent to the kings of Assyria for help. For again, the Edomites had come and attacked Judah and carried away captives. So as he's calling for help from Assyria, you have Aram that's conquered the southern portion. You have Israel that's conquered his northern portion. And it doesn't stop there. His life has just fallen apart. And it says, the Philistines also had invaded the cities of the lowlands of the Negev of Judah and taken Beth Shemesh and Ayalon and Girdath and Sokah and its villages, Timnah and its villages, and Gimzo and its villages, and they settled there. For the Lord humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had brought about a lack of restraint in Judah and was very unfaithful to the Lord. Okay, so now everybody starts attacking. He says this, they saw that there's open land here, so all the land that's near the Mediterranean Sea, the Philistines are taking these areas. You had the Edomites coming up and taking their areas, so they're all taking land. From Judah's just devastated. The only thing that's left, for Ahaz, this wicked king, is the city of Jerusalem. Everything else has been wiped out, devastated. And you see this. And so you say, well, at least he has the king of Assyria who he's bought off, who's taking care of him. And remember, that's the king who said, psych. It says in verse 20, so Tiglath-Pelneser, king of Assyria, came against him and afflicted him instead of strengthening him. So he paid him off, but still he's coming and afflicting him instead of strengthening him. This is what happens to a life that rebels against the Lord. It falls apart. Now, it doesn't fall apart overnight. So you might think you're doing rather well, but your life will fall apart. And here's the testimony. We see this in the scriptures over and over again. Verse 21, although Ahaz took out a portion of the house of the Lord and out of the palace of the king and of the princes and gave it to the king of Assyria, it did not help him. Now, in the time of his distress, the same king Ahaz became yet more unfaithful to the Lord, for he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, and said, because the gods of the king... So here he is worshiping other gods. He fails to turn to the Lord. So now, this is the context of what's going on. And so now Isaiah, in the midst of this, comes to comfort him. This wicked king, that God has taken everything from him. His life is just falling apart. Isaiah is now coming to speak a word to him. This is how merciful God is. In the midst of this, his life was shredded. And you see this. You see this in the lives of men sometimes. They become wicked. They rebel against God. They walk away from God. They lose their family. They lose their kids. They lose everything. And some Christian goes and starts sharing a kind word with them. And sometimes they repent. And sometimes they don't. And this is going to be one of the occasions where they don't repent. Where Isaiah is going to speak a very kind word from the Lord, and Ahaz is still not going to observe it. That's the context for this chapter. And so you see in verse 2, of Isaiah chapter 7, we're back in verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 7. When it was reported to the house of David, saying, "The Arameans have camped in Ephraim," his heart and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake with wind. So now the only thing that's left is Jerusalem. And remember, Pekah couldn't take Jerusalem. The king of Israel was unable to take it. So rather than now Damascus going to the south, Damascus is already, the Syrians, the Arameans have already taken the southern kingdom. Now they're going to join together and both try to go against Jerusalem and get it. And now Pekah is really shaking. Ahaz is really shaking. It says that he was just shaking like the forest. Not just him. It says that the house of David, because everybody in that city had gone along with Ahaz and with his wickedness. And they're all worrying now. Verse 3, then the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out now to meet Ahaz, you and your son, Shir Jashub," or in Hebrew, Shir Yashuv, "at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field." So he sends Isaiah to meet with him. So obviously what Ahaz was doing is the war had subsided. These other people, they were meeting in Jerusalem, in Samaria, but it was coming. He knew that they were going to be attacking. While there's nobody around the city, he goes out to check, because in this valley, you actually have this area in this valley where there's this water. So between the east wall of Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives is the Kidron Valley. So you can go there today and see the Kidron Valley. And in the Kidron Valley is the Gihon Spring. That is the spring that feeds water into Jerusalem. He was checking on that. Because the war had subsided, you know, he knew that these two countries were going to be coming against him. He's checking that water. God tells Isaiah, go down and meet him. He's down at that spring. Go down and meet him and speak this word to him. And he says, oh, and by the way, when you go, bring your son with you. And you're like, bring your son? Because his son, Shir Yahuv, is just a little boy. He's probably only about a year, maybe 2 years old. And we'll see next time how we know that. So why should I bring my one-year-old in my arm? You know, it's not like they had strollers there. Strollers don't work in Israel. It's too bumpy. I mean, so he's carrying this kid, and he's told to bring his son with him. This son is going to be a sign. This is going to end up being a sign to Ahaz. But this is the context of it. So we've got this context. So what is the lesson for today? The lesson today is, if you go into the ways of the world, and you have already heard, you've heard the truth, if you go into the ways of the world, it will bring utter destruction. You read the word of God and do it every day of your life, it will go well with you. If you don't, it won't go well with you. Destruction will come. It may not come immediately, but it will come. And you will see the enemy just starts coming and just start eating away pieces of your life. And little by little, you start losing your life. You lose your career. And I've seen it happen in many men where they've lost their marriages, they've lost their children, they've lost their careers. Lives just fall apart. Isaiah is coming to speak into a life in a situation like that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, the truth of your word. So wonderful is your word. Father, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of these young people, that they would fear you, that they would fear God, and honor him, that they would fear God, to know that to step against God is a way of death. Father, I pray for your grace upon them, that you'd give them good lives, that they'd seek your face, that they'd seek to honor you in their lives, that they would not forget you or forget the goodness of God. Father, I pray for unbelievers. Father, save a soul today. I pray, Lord, save their souls, because their lives are on a path to destruction. Their end is sure, and it is destruction. Save their souls, I pray. Reach out to them. Let them come to Jesus. And Father, I offer this up to you for the glory of Jesus and in his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to give to help out with these podcasts, you can go to jesusandscience.org. All donations are tax deductible. We have no employees in this organization. All the money just goes for the contract work on the production. Thanks so much.